This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's welcome in Daryl Ryder. He'll hit some dingers for us.
Oh, yeah.
Daryl brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, before we start on the football, so I was driving by. I was leaving. Austin Love left. He's going to be at Channel 3 part-time, but he had like a going-away party for full-time, yeah, even though he's still going to be on TV. But I still like Austin Love, right? Right, Tone? So I went to Austin Love's like going-away thing, even though he's still not going anywhere. And I was leaving, and I was going over the bridge. And as I was going over the bridge, I looked up and I saw them putting the signage at the back of the stadium. And I went, oh, that's interesting. I go, are they replacing the sign? I thought that the Progressive Field sign on the back of the stadium was already there. Turns out Daryl had a bit of a take on that signage there, huh, Daryl?
Ooh. Well, nobody knows that the place is called Progressive Field, and clearly they don't have enough signage because they are spamming the ballpark with Progressive Field signage, and they're also going to be adding some big, massive video boards to the upper deck concourses as well. And the whole thing behind it is they want drivers on the Innerbelt to be able to see the video boards. And, of course, the new massive Progressive Field signage because, again, nobody knows the ballpark is called Progressive Field. There aren't enough signs everywhere.
Daryl's mad. Daryl's upset, everybody.
I'm not upset.
Sounds like it.
It looks gross.
Yeah, you said the word gross. People got upset with you, Daryl.
Oh, they're not happy with me, and I don't care.
You don't care? Daryl, I'm not going to take it as far as what some of the people did because I like you, and I respect you.
Well, the thing of it is on just like on the corner of Carnegie and Ontario, you look up, there's now Welcome to Progressive Field. You look up 2 feet, there's the big, massive Progressive Field sign. You look up further, there's another Progressive Field sign. I don't know that you need three Progressive Field signs behind home plate. That's just me.
Well, they are paying for it, right?
I guess.
Okay. Lima, do you agree with Daryl?
Well, I'm curious because I haven't been able to see very many baseball parks over the last few years.
It's a little excessive. You don't need three signs saying Progressive Field behind home plate. Like, let's be realistic about it. They have they have Progressive Field on the elevator towers. That's fine. But they're going to down the right field line. It's basically going to look like, you know, it's going to kind of look like the bigger scoreboard inside the ballpark when they put the video board on it. And then another Progressive Field sign on top of that. So, but you know what? Hey, I'm going to give them credit. There's no confusion about what that ballpark is named. Everyone, if you don't know it's Progressive Field from like the last 15 years, you're really going to know when you walk up to it now because it's going to be everywhere.
I feel like everybody finally has come around. It took some time, but I think everybody finally calls it what it is.
I mean,
when you think about the football stadium, what do people call the football
stadium?
Well,
the name of the team that plays in it is a distraction of the, you know, what to name them. Mm-hmm. So you get what I'm saying. Now it's moved on. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've slipped a few times, and I still call it First Energy Stadium occasionally. The city council calls it the municipally owned facility at 100 Alfred Lerner Way. That's what it's called in all the city council legislation related to that building now, because obviously the First Energy scandal. But I have adapted. I call it Cleveland Brown Stadium again, because that's what it was originally before. I think it was like 2013, 2014 when First Energy bought those naming rights. But
Daryl, is it your take that Progressive Field, and when I've had buddies come from out of town, they tell me, because, you know, I only get to see this stadium now. I don't get to see the other ones. They say it holds up. It's still one of the great cathedrals of baseball. You think that the added signage and some of the things that they are doing are taking away from that?
Yeah, I do. And I wish they would have done the renovation differently, to be honest with you. Instead of chopping massive sections out of the ballpark like they're doing, I wish what they would have done is basically left from foul pole to foul pole essentially the same, and then just torn down the entire right field section, basically from the end of the club seating on the first base side there all the way around to right field, just torn all that down and then rebuilt that in its entirety with the bars and the party decks and the drink rails and all those type of things. Now, you know, that's the new modern aesthetic when it comes to stadiums, and that fan, you know, they're the younger fans. They don't want to sit in seats and watch a baseball game. They want to be able to congregate and walk around and things like that. And by putting those bars in, if you will, I call them beer gardens, by putting those in the different locations, that gives the fans, you know, different perspectives of the field and the ball game and things like that. Anything, though, in right field was better than the Port of Cleveland that was up there. Those shipping containers were just absolutely god-awful to look at. So right field, you know, tearing it down literally to the bare bones and then putting that stuff in, you know, it's a bit of an upgrade. The new terrace deck or whatever they're calling that thing, the old terrace club that they've completely opened up, that's going to be real nice when that's all redone. It just looks funny when you look at down the left field line and you look out the right field and you see the bare bones of the ballpark there. But they had to leave those for structural reasons so the thing didn't fall down.
Daryl Ryder.
Architect Daryl Ryder.
I love it. Absolute great breakdown. I think people will be really excited about it. So I want to know from you, the Judy terms have come out over the last 24 hours. Does it make you think any differently about the Judy extension?
No, I was fine with it even on the original reported numbers. But if anything, the Browns look smarter. They look better. It's a better deal for the Browns.
They look smarter, Daryl? How do they look smarter?
Well, I mean, it's not as much guaranteed money as originally reported. The way it's spaced out, I think, is a little better. So, yeah, at some point, people are going to figure out that Andrew Berry's really good when it comes to navigating the roster building and distribution of money and things like that. He does a pretty good job in that area.
Hmm. Taking shots at you there, Tone.
Well, I hear that all the time.
I'm not taking shots at anybody.
Did they create something? Did they create a new method that all the other teams are now copying because it came out of left field, or are they just doing what's in the CBA?
Well, I mean, obviously they're following the CBA. They're not gonna run afoul of that. They don't want the NFLPA breathing down their necks. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they're just pushing money into the future. Any team could do that.
Yeah, well, and the reason why they're doing that, though, Anthony, is because just look at what happened this year alone, right? The salary cap got bumped $30 million. Now, that's not to say that next year it's going up another 30 or in future years, but at some point the bill's going to come due. But right now, with Deshaun Watson on the contract that he's on, you have Myles Garrett locked up, you have Denzel Ward locked up, you have most of your offensive line is locked up with, you know, multi-year deals. The core of the team is pretty well set. This is your contention window. This is your shot that we've been waiting on. So, yeah, if you can keep kicking that can down the road while the salary cap is still going up, that's just smart business, and that allows you to spend whatever cash you need to spend in current years to not only keep the team better but improve the team. So
So do you think they're greatly improved this year? You think with all that cap space and the cap going up as much as it did, their signature free agency signings are Jerry Jeudy and who?
I don't think that they're greatly improved. I'm not going to sit here and say that, but they're certainly no worse. They haven't gotten worse. I would argue the Kansas City Chiefs have gotten worse, even though I believe that they'll still be where they were last year. As far as contention goes, their window hasn't closed by any stretch.
How did they do compared to the Ravens and the Steelers and the Bengals?
I think that the Browns have the second or the third best team in the division, and everyone in the division is an above 500 team.
Did I tell you I'm putting together my rankings of the position groups in the division?
Oh, I like it.
I want to put it out there, and then I want us to rip on each other for it.
Let's go.
Okay, we're going to do that. Hello, go ahead, Daryl. What were you going
to
say?
I'm interested to see your rankings.
Where do you think I'll have the quarterbacks? You know what? We'll talk about it when it happens.
I was going to say, I think you'll have the Browns quarterbacks. I'm going to say third.
Third. Okay. Interesting. Daryl Ryan.
Lamar's got two MVPs and Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. So
are you confused about the kickoff stuff? Because
yes,
I'm
confused about it all. I couldn't tell you what a hip drop tackle is to save my life.
Oh, that's he's going
to
get me.
You know, they're trying to legislate physics now. I'm all for player safety, and nobody wants to see players get hurt. Right? Fans pay a ton of money. They want to see their guys. Like, nobody's rooting for anyone to get hurt. But I do have news for people that run the National Football League. Your sport is a high-risk injury sport. Like, it's the nature of the beast. The Browns had 15 guys end the season on injured reserve last year. You're trying to legislate the laws of physics. At this point, you might as well turn it into flag football. I don't view hip drop tackles just based on like the, because I'm trying to figure out what a hip drop tackle is. I don't view that as like a malicious trying to hurt a player play. It's not like roughing the quarterback. A guy lowers his helmet and, you spear the quarterback in the chest and you're basically trying to kill the guy. Right. And that's a flag. I think that they're really walking a fine line here. The reports that the league is going to be more focused on fining guys on Monday after the fact, and as opposed to being concerned with officials throwing flags on those plays, even though obviously they'll be flagged too. But like, I just think that some of this stuff is kind of getting out of hand. I'm not a fan of the tush push. That's the one thing I think they should have taken out. They're leaving that in. So I grew up where if you push the runner from behind to help the runner, that was unsportsmanlike conduct, right? Well, now that's all embraced. I'm trying to figure out the hip drop tackle thing, and the kickoff thing is confusing to me too. Hey, we're gonna run an onside kick here, guys. Just so you know, all right? Like, what are we doing? Should the offense come to life? Hey, we're gonna run a double reverse here. Gonna start at the right, move it to the left. All right, you good? All right, let's go. Like, what are you doing? I don't get it.
Very interesting perspective from Daryl Ryder. Do you think we'll unearth anything about the stadium situation or anything else regarding big picture stuff with the Browns, the owners' meetings?
Well, I mean, this is going to be an important couple of days here to hear from the Haslams, especially because of this land purchase agreement. They haven't bought the land, but and we saw the Bears do that. I mean, the Bears actually bought the land, and they're not going to go out to the
suburbs. You can always just sell it.
Of course you can. But look, I mean, this is a... If they stay in the existing building, it's a $1 to $1.2 billion stadium renovation, and they're looking to do a 50-50 public-private split on it. So you're talking anywhere from $500 to $600 million in public subsidies for it, for the existing building. And that is to basically repair a lot of the problems with the building, to correct some of the original architecture with the building and the way it was originally designed. To give it that 360 service level, because right now it only has half a service level. The thing was obviously built on a tight timeline and on the cheap back in the late 90s there, because everyone was in a hurry to get the Browns back on the field. So, and, you know, putting a roof on the existing building would just double the cost, which means they're just better off building a dome somewhere else brand new. So that it is going to be interesting to hear what the Haslams have to say. My understanding is that the talks with the city have not moved forward tremendously. And so, you know, I'm interested to see where they are when it comes to the development of plans for a possible dome there across from the airport.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Cade York, yes or no?
Yeah, they carry multiple kickers in an offseason, so I don't know why everyone is...
Some of our media brethren were up in arms.
Whatever. Like, again, they carry multiple kickers. Like, same thing with the quarterbacks, right? Everyone's going nuts because they're carrying four quarterbacks. Well, the Browns usually carry four quarterbacks. So, like, it's the offseason. I don't see the big deal.
What do you think they end up doing at that quarterback spot, Daryl?
As far as...
Do they move on from somebody? Do you think
DCR?
They trade somebody for, like, a pick?
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I do think that that's, you know, possible. But clearly, because of what they went through last year, right? I mean, Deshaun is coming off an injury that is rare.
Yeah.
I can't think of a quarterback that's had that particular injury that he's recovering from right now. So they've insulated themselves, you know, at that position. You know, Jameis will be there to step in if needed. If anything, it tells me that DTR isn't ready developmentally, right? Because they drafted him with the thought that he was going to be the number two. They went into last season with him as the number two. I think that what they did in the offseason, I think tells you how they really feel about DTR. Not that they're going to come out and say that he's not developed, but, you know, I think that if DT, and also remember DTR's coming off that hip injury that ended his season prematurely. But yeah, I mean, if they thought DTR was ready for that number two role, I don't think Jameis Winston would even be here.
60 seconds real quick. Could Elijah Moore find himself as the odd man out? Could he be a trade target?
Well, you never say never, but I wouldn't trade him at this point. You're trying to load up on weaponry for Deshaun Watson. And when you look at the offense right now, Ken, you got four guys that can catch the football to throw to. And this is going to be a more pass-oriented offense than a run-oriented offense. So I don't know that trading Elijah Moore, I don't know that that accomplishes much for them. And, you know, and I, as far as what you'd get for him, I don't know that there's a lot of value there right now. You're certainly not getting what you gave up for him, and that was a second-round pick.
Okie dokie.
Daryl, we thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys.
That was Chris McDonald with us on Friday, breaking the news that there's going to be a Happy Gilmore 2, not a Shooter McGavin 2. Well, I'm sure Shooter McGavin will show up in Happy Gilmore 2. And the reason we bring it up, we are getting word that our show is just referenced on the Today Show. We've made the Today Show. Us two and Al Roker, the Clevelanders, on the Today Show now. How do you like that?
It's about time the show got its proper due after it was largely forgotten.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
About and stolen over the weekend. It's a very sad state of affairs for journalism, and that's why I have hired the best defamation lawsuit people in the world.
Beat me to it. You're the second maddest person this weekend at the media in sports. There's Kim Mulkey and then Tone.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Are you kidding me?
It's the Today Show. That's nice.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I didn't have it on. I had SportsCenter on. And then I turned it to 8, and then I didn't get to see it. Sorry to do that. But yeah, that's good. And I'm glad there's going to be a Happy Gilmore 2, which is, I know that people are like, well, you know, the sequels. The first movie's so absurd. Mm. I don't know if the second, I don't know if the sequel can be bad. I you know what I mean? Like Slapshot, did you ever see Slapshot 2?
Yeah.
I never saw, well, you saw Slapshot, but did you ever see Slapshot 2?
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
I never saw Slapshot 2. I'm assuming it's just not as good as the first because it doesn't have Paul Newman. So, like, this will still have Adam Sandler, and it'll still, like, yeah, people are like, well, it's a shame Carl Weathers died. Well, Chubbs died in the movie, in the original. Well, Bob Barker's dead. Well, Bob Barker can't live forever, guys.
Right. And that doesn't mean...
He lives here forever.
Yes, he lives in our hearts.
That doesn't mean that we can't continue to get, you know, sequels. Look at Star Wars,
he should get
for
a fight
instance.
With Drew Carey in this one. What would you say?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
That'd be perfect.
That should absolutely
Thank
happen
you.
Now in this
yeah,
movie.
Just
so
came to my mind.
That's
great
what
ideas.
I'm saying. I don't even care if the movie's bad. I really don't care. Like, it would be cool if it's awesome, but it's not going to detract from the original.
That Christmas Story they did just a couple of years ago with, like, the original cast. Like, I know they did, like, a second Christmas Story years ago, but, like, the one they just did a couple of years ago.
You said it was decent.
It was good. It wasn't decent. It was good. It tied everything together. Like, there's a nice Scott Farkas thing to it. I liked it. I really liked it. You saw it, didn't you?
No. Is that's the one that's on Max, maybe?
It's the boy is all grown up.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
It's actually
good.
Him.
It's good. The timelines don't add up at all.
No. Why would it?
Because he's like a dad in like the 2020s. Like, dude, this movie is supposed to be
in the 50s or 40s. Or
40s. Yeah. It's like right after World War II. It's like, well, okay, well, what the hell? This is, we could suspend belief.
Let's not get caught up in all of this.
Yeah. Which we were just mentioning Slapshot, and I always say the mother from A Christmas Story is also in the movie Slapshot, and you see her in a lot different way.
Yeah, very different.
The late, great Melinda Dillon. They really let her experiment and explore the space.
Well, there's a big push.
Slapshot.
There's a huge push in this sequel, if it actually gets made, to get Sidney Sweeney involved. Some of the...
You're the only one pushing.
Yeah. Well, it's a big push from me.
You could go ahead and push that.
I'd just say, who wouldn't want Sidney Sweeney in that movie?
Go ahead and you could push that. That's perfectly fine. We had Daryl on just a moment ago, and there was a reason I asked him this question about Elijah Moore.
I wouldn't trade him at this point. You're trying to load up on weaponry for Deshaun Watson. When you look at the offense right now, Ken, you got four guys that can catch the football to throw to. And this is going to be a more pass-oriented offense than a run-oriented offense. So I don't know that trading Elijah Moore, I don't know that accomplishes much for them. As far as what you'd get for him, I don't know that there's a lot of value there right now. You're certainly not getting what you gave up for him, and that was a second-round pick.
Well, I think you probably move on from that, hoping to get a second-round pick back for him or anything like that. I think you move on from that. But is there a possibility you can get a pick for him in the fifth or sixth round? Yes, but do you want to move on from him for a pick for the fifth or sixth round? That means how much do you like Cedric Tillman? How much would you like David Bell, which David Bell is probably a name that I shouldn't have made for this kind of quote-unquote argument, but I think that's just one of the little things that we bring up there. Is when you bring up these guys, and I brought this up to you on Friday, all right, well, remember, he's not the third target. He's the third wide receiver, but he's the fourth target, Elijah Moore is, because they're telling you without telling you, like, they intend on Amari Cooper, they intend on Jerry Jeudy to be the number two, they intend on David Njoku to probably be number three or even number two, depending on how the offense is running that day. And then number four would be Elijah Moore. So you know that his future, I'd be very surprised if they signed him to any sort of a deal here. Wouldn't you? So if you'd be that surprised about it, then you're probably, all right, we're moving on in a different
wouldn't
direction.
Wouldn't it be something, though, and I'm not anticipating this happen, wouldn't it be something if Jerry Jeudy was absolutely dreadful this year and Elijah Moore takes off?
It'd be Brownsian.
What the hell would the Browns do?
It would be Brownsian. If they were to find him just amazing and...
And all of a sudden, Deshaun Watson has a bond. And by the way, we're not bitching if that were to happen. We'd actually be saying, hey, this probably is a good thing. Browns would be in a good place if all of a sudden Elijah Moore takes off.
Of course.
But it would be very interesting because they are clearly banking on Judy. They clearly think Judy is better than Elijah Moore. They just do. Some people say, no, they think Judy's a part of the future more than Elijah Moore. Well, then you're making the assessment that one has a chance to be way better. And they're both, what, similar age-wise, right?
Well, if you were, yes, they're both in their early 20s, mid-20s, early 20s. If you were going to bet on either one, you would probably... Elijah Moore came here and equated himself very well as a teammate. He got a bad rap and with the Jets, and you know, one of those things are blamed right on him. I mean, he bitched after a win. But I think if you were going to gamble on either one, and both of them would be gambles, I think that you'd rather gamble on Jerry Jeudy. 216-474-0092. All right, I don't mean to beat the dead horse. I'm going to hit it one more time, and that's it. Once more, that's all I'm hitting the dead horse on, and that's it. Because I wanted to make sure everybody hears this at some point. Joe Flacco talked to the media yesterday.
Oh, you're going to do Flacco again. Oh, my God.
It's on Friday.
You stop it. Oh, this is on Friday. I beg your pardon. I said yesterday. Joe Flacco talked to the media again on Friday. Just, can I take one more victory lap? Can I take one more victory
lap? Go ahead. It's all the show is anymore.
Joe Flacco, what are you talking about?
That's all we do is take victory laps. It's just,
you accused me of only watching white basketball players earlier today.
Listen, there's some supporting evidence there.
There is no supporting evidence. I happen to watch all the basketball games.
Here's Flacco. We got
him. Here's Joe Flacco.
Well, it's just one of those questions that you guys are going to nail me for either way, you know? And it's like, I really don't believe that's the job of a backup quarterback, you know? I think that happens naturally as you become part of the team. And like I said, you're in that room, and you are going to obviously do that. I've proven to be, I think, as far as I'm concerned, a good teammate. And I think that's the most important. And those kind of things happen naturally. But it's not like, it's not like you're going to sit there and hold people's hands and do different types of things.
Joe's not there to hold anybody's hand. Well, am I right or am I right right?
I thought he was going to be a terrific mentor for your starting quarterback.
He's moved on to the mentor phase of his career.
What happened?
Not there to hold anybody's hand.
I thought he'd be showing him the ins and the outs and
what-have-yous. To be here, so he would do that.
A lot of the what-have-yous, especially with that playoff run. We thought Watson would be watching closely, and whenever he was in the building, whenever he had a chance to be back in Cleveland, because I know he wasn't back for the whole time because he was rehabbing and getting right, that he was going to be picking the brain of a Super Bowl champion quarterback and Joe Flacco, someone who's got one of the best road records for starting quarterback in NFL playoff history. Like, who better than Joe Flacco to provide all of that knowledge?
When you're right, you're right. And I end up being right. And that's the way I like to be, which is absolutely right. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Anthony Kastrovitz is going to join us on the show. We'll talk about Shohei Ohtani and Major League Baseball. They came out with their predictions for the Guardians record. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Coming up next, helicopter parents are ruining the tournament. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lime on the Fan. Tone, record numbers watching the men's tournament. You're smiling about something oddly, but we'll talk about that at another time. You said record numbers for the men's tournament. Caitlin Clark, she says a lot more people care about the women's tournament than men's.
I don't know. There's been like a lot of little moments, I think. I think just the crowds at our games, but also just like the people screaming and like wanting our autographs. Like people just scream my name constantly. And I think that's something that really never gets old or something you never take for granted. I think even like when you're out and about, like doing your own things, living your personal life, the people that come up to you and like really support your team and understand the game. I think that's the coolest thing. But I think also just in general, like the excitement around this tournament, like it's super cool. Like people are more excited about the women's side than the men's side. And I think that's obviously something that's really never been the case before. And it's cool to see how it's evolved. Like when I first started this when I was a freshman, like we couldn't even use the March Madness branding, and now to see this, and really it's just taken a whole nother level, and I expect it to continue to grow this year, and I think that's the coolest thing for myself.
I did end up watching more of the women's than the men's, and I gotta tell you, I never saw it before. I don't know. I'm enjoying the very strong pettiness. I enjoy petty stuff that goes on in sports, and like Angel Reese waving the girl off.
Yep.
And the,
bye.
Yeah,
goodbye.
The Middle Tennessee game against LSU, I thought that was fun.
Stanford, Iowa State, they got into it big time.
Did the one girl cuss at the ref?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was going off. She was
on her way out?
She was also peering over at the sidelines. So the women, the trash talk's been elevated
now. So in the women's game, I got those things going on. And then I saw Caitlin Clark. So she gets fouled in the face and she's really upset. There's another foul that's not called. And they showed it because I turned out like right before that happened. And apparently her and her dad, like her dad was telling her to shut up and stop complaining.
Yeah, that's great.
So I called it helicopter parenting just because it was a tease. I really don't mean it like that. What did you take out of that situation?
Well, the internet. The internet's so crazy because, you know, no matter what happens, once you become a recognizable figure, immediately everybody goes to their battle stations, no matter what it is. So in this case, you saw a heavy contingent of people that are sick and tired of Caitlin Clark. They think this is all concocted by the media. They don't think she's anywhere near as big as what people like me are telling you. They think this is being shoved down their throat, like way too much women's basketball. Nobody cares as much. And it's like, we're just telling you the ratings. I mean, we know what the ratings are. And look, the ratings for all of women's basketball, no, it's not going to touch the men's tournament, right? I mean, the men's tournament's had this huge boost again, huge ratings. But for her games, I mean, she's on prime time tonight, 8 o'clock, against West Virginia.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is. Mitch, see if you can find out where that game is, where it's being televised.
But I imagine ESPN?
Well, I'm not sure because there's so many different networks now that seem to have...
Well, they own the women's, though. So it'd be okay, so ESPN, it's ESPN. ESPN2, ESPNU.
I'd put her on ABC.
They've been on all those...
Forget that. Like preempt whatever you got going on ABC, considering people will watch her. And they were in trouble for, you know, a half in that game in the opener. And I actually watched a bunch of it. But there were people that took, you know, not her side on that. Then I saw a bunch of people say, why do we have to keep showing the male figure in her life? Why can't she just stand on her own? It's like, we always show parents. We show parents for the men, too.
Did you see J.J. McCarthy's dad?
No, I didn't.
A couple years ago?
Oh, you mean at the
they showed that father plenty of times.
Well, Steph Curry, you saw the whole family when he was at Davidson.
Oh, God. Well, even in the end, when and he in was the in NBA. The finals, when they were here, Lord.
So some people tried to make it a thing where, the networks have to make it seem like he is in control of her. First of all, it's the father, and the father has coached her since day one, and she listens to her father, she has credited him with... You know, a lot of what she's been able to accomplish.
That's stupid. You hear a dad bitching at his daughter or his kid in general about, hey, knock it off and suck it up and stop that. Like, anybody's going to be, you have to put a camera on that and you have to see that back and forth. I mean, she's yelling back at her dad. Like, her dad's sitting, it looks like behind, like a couple, maybe a row behind the scorer's table or two rows behind the scorer's table. And she's going right back at her father. She's quite upset in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, of course they have to show that. That's ridiculous to me. Like, I think they should take it and run it for as long as they can. Because I told you, you got women playing for brand names. All right? They've stayed around for a couple of years, so I know who Caitlin Clark is. I know who Angel Reese is. I told you, I know way more about women than I have about the men over the last couple of years. Like, I know about three guys. Zach Edey is number four, I guess, right off the top of my head. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because Zach Edey, I was picking Purdue to win the whole thing last year. But I think with the women, like, I'll take it as far as I can because you have Iowa. Okay, well, I might love a college football. Obviously makes me know a lot about Iowa and a lot about Ohio State, even though they lost yesterday, and a lot about a lot of these other programs that are household programs, household names. Well, I think they should take it as long and stretch it as far as they can because, I mean, when you have – I'm sorry, guys. I don't know if I'm going to watch the Indiana Fever in the summertime with Caitlin Clark. Like, I might watch the first game.
You might
and
watch
that's
it,
about
to,
it
to see if it grabs your interest, if it's worth
maybe
watching.
But I'm
like, what if she took over? What if she took over the whole league?
I would be interested in that, but I don't know if I'm. I don't. No, I know I'm not going to watch through the rest of the summer because I'm interested in summer sports. That's my problem with the game, and I know they only put it in there because they're beholden to television deals with ESPN, so they have to have programming on during the summer. But I'm going, man, you're killing it. By the time I'm a general fan. And by the time summertime comes around, like, guys, I love football. After the draft, I've kind of had enough. Like, I kind of let's get away from this a little bit. We got baseball here, got NBA playoffs. You know, I like NASCAR, I like auto racing, I like F1. Like, I need some other things to kind of get me away from the football. So when it comes to that, like, by the time the NBA playoffs are over with, like, I've had enough of the indoor sports, guys.
What I'm really interested in seeing is the proliferation of people watching women's hoops, including men, right? Like when Caitlin Clark had that game at Ohio State where Ohio State pulled off the upset, so many people were telling me and tweeting at me that they were going down with their daughters to Columbus to watch that game. And I wonder, with those people that watch, because their daughters, maybe the daughters are going to watch forever. Who knows?
Okay.
Will the parents, will they stay interested in it? And then when Caitlin Clark graduates or now she's leaving, will they care to keep watching it? Does it have staying power beyond both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese? I've told you about the USC. They have a freshman that is unbelievable. She already had a 50-point game this year. Will they be able to keep this thing going beyond Caitlin Clark? And I don't know.
I don't.
Because we've not seen anything like this. We've seen Diana Taurasi was awesome. Maya Moore was awesome. We've seen Rebecca Lobo, we were young, and Leslie. We've seen good players that have dominated.
It wasn't as competitive, though.
It's like, much it's more balanced competitive. Today.
Yes, it's much more balanced.
Like, Iowa could get bounced. Like, yes. They could lose.
Yes.
They could lose today against West Virginia.
Let me ask you one other question. I think you're right. Let me ask you one other question, though. Like, you have a daughter. You love basketball. Does her dad inspire you at all? Do you see yourself in her dad?
Well, I thought you meant me. My daughter's dad
you,
is me.
No, you as
I inspire myself.
You as a father, does that relationship inspire you at all?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like you're going to turn into Marv Marinovich or anything like that. But
oh, but I think that's...
Oh, but
that's,
he will.
No, that's something that every parent, no matter a boy or girl, you've got to watch out for. And look, when we were young, yeah, there was... There were girls' sports, and they were emerging, right? Like, more girls were playing soccer than ever before. They were watching the United States women's national team. You know, you saw more and more of that. And now today, I mean, Owen can speak to girls wrestling in high school. What the hell was that when I was young? Like, that's everywhere now. There's legitimacy going on in every realm of this. And I am curious to see, because we seem to be past that inflection point. Like, this has gained a ton of momentum, that the athleticism I'm seeing in girls' sports wasn't even a thing when we were young. Now it's got it to legitimate relevancy.
920, could the Cavaliers' struggles right now have an effect on Donovan Mitchell staying long term? And I think a lot of people heard me wrong on Friday. When it comes to the high school basketball tournament, I didn't say to keep it in Dayton because I love it in Dayton. Got to listen to why I said it, because there's a very specific reason, and you'll hear that later on. Up next, Anthony Castrovince is going to join us. MLB.com, MLB Network. Major League Baseball is the Guardians predicted to a very nice record, a surprising record. Would you believe them? We'll ask him that. And what's Shohei Ohtani going to tell the media today, as it looks like he's being investigated in this whole gambling deal? Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.